The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. I'm Sean Sayre here with you live and local in our WTBR studio this morning on Friday, June 14th, Flag Day it is, and waking up to a little bit of a gray sky out there. I'm hearing some rain and thunderstorms maybe in the forecast today, but a beautiful weekend coming up. We're looking forward to that. And then, of course, next week's heat wave we're all hearing about, and we'll find out about that firsthand, I'm sure, next week. But let's enjoy the weekend before that. We got a good show coming up for you today. We have John and Sarah Barrett. They are with the Berkshire Ride for ALS, Two Wheels for a Cure. And we're going to be talking to them about the event here in Berkshire County, which happens in September, but things are just gearing up for it now. We're trying to get some word out about that today, talking about ALS and talking about the ride and what it supports, how they got involved and started with. It's going to be a fascinating conversation. I'm really looking forward to speaking with both of them. So first, let's go to the weather forecast from the National Weather Service and find out what's in store for us over the next couple days.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny with a chance of showers this morning, then mostly cloudy with showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind, small hail, and heavy rainfall this afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and scattered thunderstorms in the evening. Lows in the mid-50s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
That end part there is what I like the best. The beginning of the weekend, it's starting to look nice, sunny, and mid-70s, I think, for both days of the weekend. So you got to love that. All right, welcome to Morning Drive here, 89.7 WTBR-FM. And my guests in the program today, John and Sarah Barrett, good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. And John emailed me probably about a month ago, sort of out of the blue, about the Berkshire Ride for ALS. And I looked at it and I said, that would be a really great topic to talk about here on Morning Drive, and such an interesting story about how the two of you got started on this. So first of all, before we get to that, tell us and the audience about yourselves and your experience before sort of getting involved with the Ride for ALS.
You want to go?
Go ahead, Sarah.
Leaving that to me.
Yeah, sure.
In the past, you know, I've heard of ALS and better known as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not something you hear about often, more of a rare thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had known someone that, actually two people that had passed from it.
Mm.
And it was very, very scary experience in my opinion. So, of course, I had this horrible idea of it. And then my father was diagnosed, which, mind you, he only had it for 10 months.
Okay.
His first symptom was in March, and they didn't diagnose him, because it's such a difficult thing to diagnose, until October of that year.
Hmm.
So
and this was what, 2016?
2016. Mm. Yeah, actually 2015.
15. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so we quickly learned about it and knew our own experiences, had our own experiences with it, reached out to different places to see what we could do. Is there a cure? Mm-hmm. Is there something we can do? And nothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. It is literally a terminal diagnosis.
Yeah.
Which, of course, makes everybody upset and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much out there that people aren't aware of for help, for assistance, for fundraising, but there's nothing here in the Berkshires.
Interesting, yeah. And so you only sort of experience that after it affects your family, and you say, uh-oh. So now you start researching everything, right? And you say, where's the help? Where is the sort of the support, all that kind of stuff? And that's what you found, really not much.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's almost as if it's something new.
Mm.
There's not a lot of information. There's not, you know, there's not medications. There's not anything that you can do.
Mm.
There wasn't, I should say.
Right, at the time, yeah.
Leaps and bounds now.
Yeah,
but
and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so after that experience, the two of you considered putting something together as a positive experience, right? To know that obviously that having someone in your family that has ALS is not a positive experience, but to turn that around and to make something of it. Talk about that a little bit.
My father was a cyclist, an avid cyclist.
Okay.
And he said when he finally got his diagnosis that if he could find a cure, he would ride his bike every single day to raise money to help fund a cure, fund medicines, whatever needed to happen. So that's where it started.
Yeah.
And we learned about a bike ride.
Okay.
And that's where John comes in.
So what about that, John?
Yeah, so Carrie, her father, Carrie Hinckley, was a pretty accomplished cyclist in his 17 years in riding almost 30,000 miles on his bike, numerous Pan Mass challenges, numerous Josh Billings run agrounds, ride for Alzheimer's in memory of his mother who passed from Alzheimer's. So just a cycling ride just seemed something that was really just fitting, that it just, you know, we were going to do. We had come across an event similar to what we're doing here in another area closer to Boston, and we said, you know, let's do it. Let's raise money, do whatever we got to do. And I hadn't ridden a bike, and I can't tell you how long. So for me to hop on a bike and do something like this, and there was different mileage options, and the top option was a 70-mile ride, and I'm like, well, if Gary was here, he's going to go all in. I'm going all in. So started riding, and, you know, he had left me his bike, so it was, you know, that's the bike that I ride to this day in all our rides, so it's a pretty special deal.
Nice.
So we rode in that.
And I'm thinking, you know, put it in perspective, 70 miles on a bike, how long does that take?
Generally in the area that we were doing, you know, even around here, it's, you know, it's probably 5 hours, 4.5, 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
But just to give a perspective, the Ashuwiltacook Trail from Lanesboro to Adams is what, just under 11 miles?
Yeah,
so
something
it would
like
be,
that.
It would be that times about seven?
Yeah, or I guess we're going back and forth to Springfield.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, it's quite a distance.
Yeah.
It's. You know, it's something we've been doing for a few years now. So we participated in this other event, and we did that for 4 years. And then, like my wife said, COVID hit and shut down all large mass gatherings, and you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. So it's like, well, we weren't ready to just give up on it. You know, we had raised probably $10,000 or $12,000 by that point. You
That's
know,
great.
just myself and us as a team,
and.
We said, you know, we want to keep doing it. We're not going to be put off. So we just decided, listen, if we can't gather with, you know, the group that we used to do it with, let's just do our own thing and see what we can do here in the Berkshires. And, you know, we knew at that point there were other people here that had ALS. And we just said, let's give it a shot and see what we can do. And not that it was easy. We're right in the middle of COVID. You can't do anything. You know, nobody wants to do anything in the middle of COVID. You're very limited on what you were allowed to do at that point. So
even the outdoor stuff, which was amazing, right? In those early days of COVID, people were really kind of freaked out about a lot of that, and rightfully so at the time.
Absolutely. Nobody wanted to be near each other, and wanted to be, but you know, you wanted to be safe, which we understand that.
Right.
It's totally understandable. You know, we weren't trying to spread anything or do anything like that either. But we, like I said, we said let's give it a shot and see what we can do here, and here we are five years later.
Yeah. So so in those first few years, it was limited in terms of how many people would ride, and then sort of after COVID, it took off. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's slow. It's hard getting things going on, you know, especially when you don't have a public figure, a public profile or something like that. I'm not from here in Pittsfield. I lived here for 18 years now, but I'm originally from North Adams, so I'm not really a known figure down here in Pittsfield. So,
well, you and I share that.
Yeah.
So, Pittsfield residents for long term and North Adams transplant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, when you're looking to get something started like this, it definitely helps have to have a public figure, a public persona or something like that. But if you don't, then it just takes a little while. But yeah, the first year I rode by myself. Mm-hmm. Tried to get the word out the best that I could. Second year, I had a friend of mine join me who had lost his wife to ALS in 2019. Hmm. And we, you know, it was just the two of us. Then the next year, the third year, we kind of grew a little bit and we had 14 riders and we moved it to a different location. The first 2 years were right from our house, right down in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So we moved it to a different location and we grew and, you know, we had live music and we had food donated by a local restaurant. And last year we grew again and we had 34 riders last year. So we're slowly growing.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's not easy, but we're not ready to give up. So there's good reason to keep going.
That's great. Sarah and John Barrett are my guests here this morning on Morning Drive. We're talking about the Berkshire Ride for ALS. And their unofficial motto is Two Wheels for a Cure. This year's ride, as you mentioned, the fifth year
you've
been running it. And there are, according to your poster, there are three riding options, right?
Correct.
So one is a 10-mile bike ride. So right. Maybe one trip down the Asheville
to Cook
in perspective, right?
Right.
The other one is 70 miles biking, which we were just talking about. And then the third option is a 70-mile motorcycle ride.
Correct.
Right? Yes. And so how many motorcyclists have you been attracting to this ride recently?
Last year was our first year. We kind of just, you know, it came up in a discussion with Sarah and one of her coworkers that, hey, listen, you know, these guys will ride for anything. Mm-hmm. So we started putting that out there and started tossing it around and said, all right, well, let's give it a shot. You know, and again, it kind of totally encompasses our Two Wheels for a Cure slogan. So it's like, well, let's see if we can get that going. And, you know, it's just another avenue to help get the word out. And, you know, we know a bunch of people who ride motorcycles and they're involved with a bunch of good groups and they're generally a huge help during a lot of these fundraisers. So it's like, well, let's give it a shot and utilize their outreach and whatever. So last year was our first year with the motorcycles. I think we had eight or nine?
We had eight. Yep.
So,
okay.
So it's a good start,
it's
you know.
Growing,
it's,
right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. For our first shot, so we're gonna give it we'll give it a shot and see if we can continue to grow that aspect of it. Also, like I said, it's just another avenue to reach out to. There's so many motorcycle clubs around here and so many motorcycle riders. We all know that. So,
and they're giving of their time to do this as well, having a little enjoyment that day, but also picking up some sponsors and some money for the cause.
Correct.
Sarah, talk about what it's like to organize something like this. and we talked offline about when you first were looking at doing this, that there wasn't something already happening here in the Berkshires, and that was the impetus for you to say, well, why not? Let's make something happen.
Exactly. As I had said, you know, COVID was actually a blessing in the situation. We originally wanted to do something as a family. We joined a walk to defeat ALS. Mm. That was fabulous. It was at Look Park, you know, still not right here.
Yeah.
We had learned.
The other Western Massachusetts.
Yes, right. The other Western Mass, exactly. So, you know, and we knew that there were some people around that had known of ALS that also wanted to participate in some things, but, you know, even an hour ride is sometimes too much for people.
Mm-hmm.
So when we started there, we learned about the bike ride, and then COVID hit.
Mm.
So everything, you know, like I said before, came to a halt, and it ended up being a great opportunity to try and do something here. Mm-hmm. And then we said, okay, well, why can't we keep it here? Why go back to Boston? We need to keep it here. There's nothing in Berkshire County to fundraise for ALS because, again, it's something that's rather rare.
Right.
Well, was.
Yeah.
And as we, you know, keep going along, this coworker that I had discussed this with about the motorcycles, in conversation, he learned about my dad. I learned his uncle passed from ALS.
Wow.
And with that, there's been more people in Berkshire County that we've heard about since 2016. And we said, okay, it's time for Berkshire County to do something. And we're going to be that person. Yeah. We're going to be that group.
And so the logistics of putting it all together, obviously we're here today talking about it, publicizing it. This is happening on September 7th, so a while from now. It's hard to think that far in the future, but you've probably been thinking about it already for months. Oh, yeah. What goes into organizing something like this?
A lot, and we need a lot of help. You know, there's money involved. There is, luckily we have an amazing organization called ALS One that we work with, and that's where our donations go.
Okay.
They are, the gentleman who started ALS One had ALS, Kevin Goslin, and he wanted an organization that you could go to them and they could get you everything you need. You don't need to go to this one for a, you know, medical medical assistance. You go to this one for equipment. You go to this one. He wanted it all under one umbrella. And to us, that's huge because you never know what person is going to need what. So we partnered with ALS One and they provide so much. They provide the, they do the website for us. We can't thank them enough. They are a huge reason that we are able to do this. But it really is, get you, you know, you got to try and find your place. You got to have the money to pay the fees if there is any. You know, you got to think about food. Well, how many people are coming? I don't know. You know, you got to, you kind of have to prepare for so many things that may or may not happen.
Yeah. And do you have sponsors and good, you know, companies doing a good job to help with the food, help with all of these logistical details? Are you always looking for more?
We definitely are always looking for more. Yeah. We are looking to grow this. We want to make this something known. We want to help in any way that we can. So sponsors are a huge, huge thing. There's different levels that you can donate, where you can be on the back of the ride jersey that's provided every year. There's the ride sponsors, the route sponsors. They put a poster up and you are sponsored on banners and things like that to get, you know, awareness out for you. We have an amazing restaurant that donates the food that my father was friends with. He is on top of it every year.
Great.
Sometimes we have breweries. They will donate their time as well. But the sponsors are really, really big. We need to get the word out. We need to make sure that people are aware that there's something out there to help and to make ALS One known as well as the ride, because they're in Boston. But they'll do anything for anybody anywhere.
So they is this a regional group, ALS One, or is it a national group? We said it's out of Boston.
It's out of Boston, but we've reached out to somebody, reached out to them about somebody in Ithaca, New York, and right on it they were. Wow. They don't, you know, it doesn't matter where they are. They will help in any way they can.
That's great. Yeah. We're talking about the Berkshire Ride for ALS this morning, which is happening on September 7th. But as you hear, lots of things, a lot of details go into it well before that. Sarah and John Barrett are my guests here on the show this morning. John, talk to us about where the ride starts, where it goes, and where it ends, and what do people do in between? How long is it? I think you said it was about 5 hours for the 70 mile.
Yeah. So this year, we're lucky enough to, well, let's back up a little bit. The last couple of years, we were lucky enough to have a great facility at the Fieldhouse Canaan down in Canaan, New York. The owner down there, Pete Lopez, his sister-in-law, Mary Beth, had passed away from ALS in 2019. He was gracious enough to let us use his facility and his grounds down there to, for the last couple of years, to kind of get us off the ground and get, you know, get our, you know, get our feet wet in a growing event. So we've held it down there for the past couple of years, and everything was great. And we couldn't thank Pete enough. I mean, he's been just the ultimate host. And this year, we wanted to bring it back to the Berkshires, for the Berkshire Ride for ALS. And we wanted to make it more central, just more accessible for people to get to. You know, if somebody just, hey, heard about it on the radio and they wanted to stop by, you know, that's all about what it was. So this year, we're we found a great spot at the Conroy Pavilion down on the shore of Venota Lake. Yep. So,
very excited.
It is a great place.
And, yeah.
Yes.
Everybody knows where that is. Like you said, very central.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And we're super excited about it. And so that is going to be our start and finish line for all three ride routes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take off out of there, and the 10-mile ride is kind of going to loop around to the backside of the lake and go down, you know, by Cascade Street, mm-hmm. And go down by the State Forest entrance and kind of loop around into Lanesboro and come back.
Okay.
Not a very strenuous ride at all.
Yeah.
Pretty much anybody should be able to do it.
How long will that take, folks, the 10-mile ride? About an hour?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. It's hard to say. It's, you know, everybody's got their own riding ability.
Sure.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's generally not a difficult one. The 70-mile and the 70-mile motorcycle ride, they're basically going to mimic the same route, and we're going to go out, we're leaving the pavilion. We're going to go all the way out to Route 20, mm-hmm. up and over the mountain, all the way out into New York and
wow. And
Vermont, and we'll be back in Pownell and come down Route 7, and we'll be back down Route 7, and that'll be our 5 hours in the saddle that day.
That's a good ride for sure. And what time of the day does it start? Do you get started in the morning or?
Yeah, the 70-mile ride, because it does take so long, we like to get those folks out earlier, mm. so we can all generally be back roughly the same time. So we'll be taking off at 7 o'clock. So
okay.
it'll be a nice brisk start.
Yeah.
Hopefully we got some good weather. Knock on wood.
That's right, come in.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a good time of the year for it too, if you think about it, because the summer heat is just starting to dry away and.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you might get some crisp mornings where if you're working up a good sweat on the bike, it's gonna feel a little easier.
Yeah, we've had some good weather for every ride that we've done, and God, I hate to jinx ourselves, but we're looking for another good weekend this year. So
talking about planning. That's the other thing too, is you have to have somebody available to follow these riders. They need to shed clothes, something happens, they get a flat tire, they need what have you, need
sure.
anything medical, that's me. I ride the 70-mile route as well, and there's specific rest stops. I'm always there for whatever they need. We'll bring water, we'll bring Gatorade, fruit, you know, if anybody needs to get rid of, you know, layers and things like that, because it is a little bit colder in the morning, and then it does get warm. Then I'm there for you.
So you're the support car.
I am. Yes,
she is.
She
is,
and
for
are
sure.
You following along in the behind and with your hazards on to make sure that people know that it's happening? Is that a road safety an issue also?
Not usually, only because we haven't had a huge group.
Yeah.
The support is there if we need it.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to make
mm-hmm.
a phone call.
Yeah.
But it's been more, I am out in front. I'm at the rest stop. Put the signs up. Cheer them all in when they come in.
That's nice.
And everybody rides differently. So some people will be there for 10 minutes and some will be there, you know, I'll wait for another 20 minutes or so.
So you have a sort of post that you hit.
Exactly.
And then rest
yep.
a little bit and then head out again.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. We want to make sure our riders are safe. We want to make sure our riders are hydrated and anything that they need, I'm there for them.
Great. Right. And the motorcycle ride, does that take the same route? And does that kick off at the same time, different time? How does that work?
The motorcycle ride, I believe we decided we're going to do 10 o'clock. Is that what it was?
Yeah, somewhere right around there. They're a little bit quicker than the riders.
I would say,
just a little bit.
So yeah, they don't have to leave as early, obviously. They're gonna leave pretty well as long as everybody's there. They'll leave between 10 and 10:30, somewhere around the same time that the 10-mile riders are. That way, they're generally, hopefully, by the time 10:30 rolls around, the 70-mile riders, the cyclists, will be into probably. Maybe Pownell at that point on the way back.
Mm.
So by the time everybody gets back, nobody's really sitting around and waiting and, you know, and everybody can eat together, and we'll have, we got a live band this year and they'll be playing.
Who's the band? Do you have that yet?
Generation X.
All right.
Yes.
There you go.
They're excellent.
Nice. And again, that's a great location for it.
Absolutely.
The Conroy Pavilion. Everybody knows. Obviously, that's where they have Live on the Lake and things like that.
There,
so, yeah, very, very popular for that.
Yes.
Again, we're speaking about the Berkshire Ride for ALS here on Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR FM, talking with John and Sarah Barrett about this and how they got started on it and where it is today. Certainly after 5 years, you kind of get it down and you know how it works and how quickly it can grow from something as small as one rider, it sounds like, right? From,
yeah.
Yes.
From 2016 or 17 all the way to today. And how many do you expect this year? Do you get registrations? Do people connect with you ahead of time and say, I'm definitely involved, put my name on the list?
Yes. Registration is open. Mm. This is one of the reasons we're doing this today. We want to get the word out. We want to let people know because there's so many cycling clubs around.
Yeah.
And there's people who, you know, just want to do a little something. We've got it for you.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the opportunity, and we'd love to have as many riders as we can. So we just need to get the word out in any way we can to get those people involved.
Yeah. And obviously people get busy dance cards when it comes to the summer and the early fall.
Exactly.
So getting things on the calendar probably isn't such a bad idea.
Nope.
Yes.
We'll throw it out there again. It's September 7th this year. It's a Saturday.
Yep.
Put that down on your calendar if you're a cyclist and you would like to participate in the Berkshire Ride for ALS. That's what you do. And coming up on the top of the hour here where we'll take our little break, but we've been talking about it for the first half of the show. If people do want to get involved and put their name on that list and get as part of it, or maybe just to help support or to sponsor or something, what's the best place for them to contact?
You can go online and type in classy/ Berkshire Ride for ALS, and that should bring you right to our fundraising page, our event page. You can go on there, you can register, you can donate, you can sign up to be a sponsor, one of our three different levels of sponsorship that we offer. You can go on there and donate. You can select an individual, donate to that person's fundraising efforts. You can donate in general to just the ride in general. And pretty much everything is right there.
Facebook as well.
Yeah.
Facebook has all the links.
Well. We have an event page on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We have a page on Facebook that you can like, follow. We can share all our news on there, ask questions.
And what's the Facebook page?
It's just Berkshire Ride for ALS.
Okay, so search for that.
Absolutely.
Your friend is Google.
Yes, absolutely.
Or through Facebook, you can find it that way.
Yes.
And has that been a good outlet to attract and find people, is to sort of float that out on social media? I know a lot of people, you know, use that to the advantage, and that's what you have to do these days.
Yeah,
it's very true.
What better way to do it these days? I mean, it's free advertising. It's, you know, it's I can't.
That and coming on Morning Drive, of course.
Yeah,
exactly.
Absolutely. What better way there, right?
But that's good. So Berkshire Ride for ALS, that's what you're searching for. And when someone, and we're coming up again on that top of the hour, but when someone registers and puts their name in, so you said that someone can look at that list of people and say, okay, I want to sponsor this rider. And do you do it like per mile, or do you just say this is the sponsorship for this person for, you know, participating?
Well, you can go on there if you just want to donate. If let's say just if random Joe wants to go on there and donate to our ride or to a specific rider, you can go on there, scroll down through our list of riders that are already registered, click on their name, then you can go in and donate right to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to sponsor, the sponsorships that we offer, that's for the ride in general. It's basically like Sarah was saying earlier, if you'd like to become like our top-level sponsor, which is $1,000, it'll get your name on the back of our ride jersey, but we have an official ride jersey that we do give out to all our registered riders every year. There is a $150 fundraising minimum to be able to get that jersey because nothing's cheap. I mean, everything's so expensive nowadays. But some of the sponsorship money, if we, you know, the sponsorships that we gain, that does help offset some of the costs, or, you know, it goes towards this, or it goes toward, you know, whatever's left, it'll go towards, you know, getting the equipment and the services and all that stuff that these folks with ALS that they need.
And as Sarah mentioned earlier, the proceeds go to the ALS One
yes
organization, correct. And they're the ones. And we'll talk more about the kinds of things that ALS patients need and the mm-hmm. kinds of support that the fundraiser goes toward. And we'll do that in the second half.
Sounds good.
So let's go to that top of the hour break right now. Again, you're listening to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. We're talking about the Berkshire Ride for ALS, which is happening on September 7th of 2014, starting and ending at the Controy Pavilion at Anoda Lake. And it's going to be an interesting and very fulfilling day, it sounds like, for folks. So let's do that break, and we will be right back after this. You're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Hello, Michael Hitchcock from Roots and Dreams and Mustard Seeds, here to say we build working class power. If you work for money, if you're unemployed, disabled, a student, or retired, homeless or immigrant, you're working class, and you've got more in common with other workers everywhere than you do with bosses anywhere. If you want to build working class power, come to our food pantry, Mercado de Vida, at 119 Fenn Street. Can't wait to meet you.
Hello, wonderful people. This is your host, Tariq Pinkston, for the show. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. So that 12:30 slot is a time to help fill cups, fill your gas tank, and just give you a reboot for the day. 30 minutes of inspiration coming on every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Fill the gas tank, and I hope to see you there every Friday, 12:30 p.m. here on WTBR.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And this is Sean Sayre here with you. Friday, June 14th is the day, and a little bit of a gray sky outside. We're seeing out the window this morning, but we're looking forward to a really nice weekend, as we have heard. We have a great show here this morning. We are talking with John and Sarah Barrett. They are the organizers of Berkshire Ride for ALS, Two Wheels for a Cure. You may have been listening to the first half of the show. We're going to talk more about it in the second half. That ride is happening on September 7th. It's a Saturday. I'm sure it's going to be a perfect day, just like tomorrow and Sunday are. And it's a 10 or a 70-mile bike ride, and also a 70-mile motorcycle ride. So if you ride one of those two-wheeled devices and you want to raise money for a good cause, September 7th should be in your calendar. And we'll be talking about that more and more on the rest of the program. But first, let's go to the weather forecast, as we always do, and find out what is in store for us from the National Weather Service. Here it is.
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny with a chance of showers this morning, then mostly cloudy with showers likely with a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind, small hail, and heavy rainfall this afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 60%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers and scattered thunderstorms in the evening. Lows in the mid-50s. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Chance of rain 50%. Saturday, sunny. Highs in the lower 70s. North wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, the gusty wind and small hail sounds interesting. we've got that coming this afternoon, maybe. Fabulous. We'll see. But yeah, you might want to bring those umbrellas in if you haven't already, and anything else that could blow away or get hit by hail. Fun. But the weekend is going to be good. I think we'll all enjoy that. So once again, my guests on the program this morning, John and Sarah Barrett, thanks again for being here.
Thank you.
Both of you. It's great talking with you about this great event coming up in September. And for our TV viewers, I'll just hold up the flyer. Again, it's the, I can't see it great, but it's the Berkshire Ride for ALS, September 7th, 2024. And the website is, I'll just read this out, give.classy.org/Berkshire Ride for ALS. That is the exact website that you'll need to get to if you want to participate or support or sponsor this event. Sarah, let's talk about what types of support ALS patients need, because you've seen this firsthand. And
yes.
As we talked about, it is kind of a known as a rare disease, but you know, I think it seems like more and more people know someone who has had this, whether it's in their family or a close relative or friend or something. So it's not like it's going away anytime soon, right?
Very
so
true.
What kinds of support do ALS patients require?
You know, each person battles differently, so their needs are quite different. So there is definitely a lot of different places that will provide the support you need, whether it's a ramp because you're now in a wheelchair, or you need modifications done to your home, you know, a hospital bed, or your caregiver needs some support. There's different items. One of the, under the umbrella of ALS One, there's also Compassionate Care ALS. They provide vehicles. They have vehicles that will help you get your loved one in and out of the car to go to appointments or to go to wherever is needed. It's unlimited what they can do. I mean, I'm sure it's limited, but it's amazing the stories that you will hear. And again, each person battles differently, whether, you know, something affects their hand, their foot. You've heard of foot drop, I'm sure.
No, I haven't.
You've never heard of foot drop? That happens. It's with ALS, it affects your nerves, and it also attacks your muscles. So for firsthand for my father, his first symptom was that he lost strength in one arm.
Okay.
And shortly thereafter, he started with his voice. He started to slur his words, things like that. So there's a lot of different ways that this disease can start. And a lot of people don't know what it is. You know, people have surgeries for nerve damage or a pinched nerve, and lo and behold, that's not what it is either.
Interesting.
It's the beginning of this. So
it must be hard to diagnose in some ways too, right?
Yes.
Because you want to rule out all the other things, it sounds like, first, and you say, well, it can't be that.
It's literally taking apart a puzzle. You know, instead of putting one together, you're taking apart, eliminating each item that it could be.
Are there specific tests for ALS which they can perform and then say, okay, you definitely have this? How does that work?
To the best of my knowledge, there's not a specific test. Mm. They can do some testing on your nerves and say, we think that this is what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a possibility, but there's nothing that says, yep, that's it. It's not a blood test. It says, oh, yep, this is what you're doing. Mm-hmm. This is what you have. It's not that simple. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, my father's first first symptom was in March. Mm-hmm. And he never got his diagnosis until October. Hmm. We had an idea. We were pretty sure. But they couldn't even say yes until all these other items were eliminated.
Yeah.
Just something that they really want to make sure of before they give you that diagnosis, you know.
Of course.
Because it's not,
yeah.
it's not a good diagnosis.
No. And it's progressive as well, right? So
it's
not something that, you know you need a little extra help at the beginning. But, you know, later on, it's going to require even more support. Equipment, as you said, you mentioned something I thought very interesting too. Support for the caregivers.
Yes.
And what's that like? What an organization like ALS One? What kind of support do they provide the people who are caring directly for these folks?
An outlet to talk, to provide different ideas, to just give them a break, to let them know they're not alone, and let them know that there's different things out there that they could try or they could have access to try and help their loved one be more comfortable and give themselves a little bit of a break.
Mm. And these are folks, I would imagine, that have some direct experience with it, maybe in their own families and have seen it before. So, you know, people coming into it most likely have never had any experience with this, knowing, you know, what's next, what do I prepare for, how long does it last, all the questions, right? That's that must be the hardest thing, is finding all that out.
It is. My father battled for 10 months. It was very quick. He progressed very quickly. Mm. One of, you know, so we ride in memory of him.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have someone that we ride in honor of, and she is, I believe, coming up on year 5 of her battle.
Okay.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing. But there's everything in between.
Hmm.
You know, it could be 10 months. It could be 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Usually not 10 years, but it could be 2. It could be everybody is different, and they can't pinpoint why.
Hmm. And I would think things like adaptive technology are probably also important, right? Being able to still move around, have mobility, being able to do things as much as you can for yourself. Those all are things that cost money.
Exactly.
Right? To implement, to have specialized chairs and, as you said, ramps and things like that.
Yes. And there's people who communicate through eye gaze. So they have the computer that speaks for them.
Okay.
Those
I think
are,
of Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so much need for those. Mm. So if we can help just one person make something a little bit easier for them or for their caregiver to be able to communicate with their caregiver, you know, you lose your speech.
Mm-hmm.
Everything changes. You can't communicate anymore. You can't write.
Mm.
So you lose the functions of your body. So in order to get someone that little bit of help, that's what ALS One does, because, you know, with Compassionate Care, and they work with Mass General, you know, they're going towards funding research and getting people the equipment that they need.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a one-stop shop.
And eye gaze, I assume, is the thing where if you look at a part of a screen or whatever, it can lock on and select a letter, and then you can build a word, and then you can build a sentence. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Fascinating. And, you know,
it is
amazing that the technology exists. And I think about how much has changed probably since, you know, it's named sort of nicknamed Lou Gehrig's disease.
Correct.
Can you imagine the kinds of things that Lou Gehrig had gone through? And that was in the 30s and 40s, right? Mm. Until now, where technology has been able to allow people to have a reasonable, you know, expectation of being able to communicate, of moving around, of getting to a certain point.
Exactly.
That must be amazing. So what about treatments and work toward a cure? Because, again, that's something that I would imagine everyone who's wanting to support something like this, the Berkshire Ride for ALS, or an organization like ALS One, is looking for progress, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to see some change. We want to see some not only the support and the equipment and things, but also some treatment. To your knowledge, is there anything on the horizon that helps folks like that, that in terms of maybe pharmaceuticals or physical therapy, things like that? Is anything working?
They have recently, I do not believe it's on the market as of yet, but they made progress in a medication that will slow the progress of the disease. That's probably the furthest that they have come at this point, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. But it's
so
still
basically buying people time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And MassGen is one of the leaders in the country of researching and developing all these different things. It's amazing.
Yeah. So really lucky to have that.
Yes.
Basically right down the turnpike.
Exactly. Yes.
Sometimes we forget how important it is to have major research hospitals,
right,
you know, right here in our own state. In Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
So what other kinds of services would people need as the disease progresses? Is it something, as you mentioned, that not only the speech and the ramps and things like that, what other kinds of things will people need along the way?
You know, it's hard to say because it's going to depend on their progression.
Mm.
You know, it could be a wheelchair, it could be a walker, it could be a brace on their foot. There's definitely different things that are out there. It could be minimal or it could be huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard to say. With our experience, my dad didn't need much.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so quick.
Mm.
You know, he didn't need a lot of assistance as far as, you know, equipment or things
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've definitely seen people, you know, they give, like we talked to the eye gaze.
Mm.
Is there anything else you can think of that we've seen? I mean, we've seen the little scooters.
Breathing machines,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Feeding tubes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, obviously that's on the medical end, but.
Sure.
Yep.
But lots involved, for sure.
Yes. Access to amazing doctors as well from ALS-1.
Yeah. And I would imagine that also involves transportation, right? Because those amazing doctors aren't necessarily here in
correct.
The Berkshires.
No. Correct.
Any specialists, since it's such a rare disease to a certain extent, you can probably get some support medically here in the Berkshires, but there are probably some things you just need to go elsewhere for.
Correct.
And just getting people there and back, even though it's only 3 hours away, and we're, again, lucky, right?
Yes.
It's still a haul to get to Boston and back.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do believe there is something at Bay State, that at least there was back in 2016 when my father was diagnosed. He actually had an appointment to go to the clinic there.
Okay.
But he passed before he could get to his appointment. So I believe there's still something there. The neurologist that my father saw here in Berkshire County was also the neurologist there.
Okay.
He has since moved. But I believe there's still something going on there. Don't quote me, but I'm almost positive. I can't imagine they would end it.
Yeah. No. Right. So good to have. And we're speaking today, if you're just joining us, to John and Sarah Barrett. They are the organizers of the Berkshire Ride for ALS. And that is Two Wheels for a Cure, they call it. And we'll just reiterate again for people that didn't catch the first part of the program what the event is. It's a big fundraiser for ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. At the very beginning, we tried to say what the disease actually is. I'll try and pronounce it as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, if you're wondering what ALS is.
Good job.
Right.
Thank you. Try practice that a little bit. I had to read it off the monitor just in case. So let's talk about the ride again and what people can expect when they go on it. I know we talked about it earlier, but sometimes it's good to just hit that again for folks that are just joining us. It's on September 7th, which is a Saturday.
Correct.
And it starts and ends at, go ahead.
The Controy Pavilion on the shores of Anoda Lake.
Great.
We've moved it. We were lucky enough to move it back to a more central location this year. We have, you know, because we do have a lot of people who donate from North County and from South County, so it's just more of a central location, you know, and that way there, if somebody just wanted to pop in that day, it's right there.
Yep. And we have listeners, by the way, over into Eastern New York also, in New Lebanon and Canaan and places like that. Believe it or not, our little radio station does hit that far.
It reaches that far.
So, you know, if people are interested over there, they can certainly join as well, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Our ride goes, you know, we'll we go right up over Lebanon Mountain and pop down into New Lebanon down there, and we'll head out into Steventown, and then we'll go into Berlin and all those little towns over there, and come back through Pownell and Williamstown. So we have quite the route that covers some distance and goes by a number of people. You're more than welcome to cheer us along on the way. That's never a bad thing.
When you're riding on the route, is it mostly highways or is it small little routes that you kind of snake around and go? What do you try to go for?
Well,
sounds like part of Route 22 has got to be a part of it, right?
Yeah. Route 22 going through New York is a good portion of the ride. We get on Route 22 over in New Lebanon, and we stay on Route 22 until we turn to head towards Vermont over on 346.
Okay.
So
very picturesque area there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's
beautiful.
And it's there's a lot of highway miles, and there's a little bit of backstory on the route that we chose, because when we decided to do this, obviously we're looking for nice roads to ride on. We don't want to ride, my bike is not set up to ride on rough roads, and we all know that we have some rough roads around here. Yeah. So trying to find 70 miles of usable roads here locally is kind of tough. So we had to branch out. So when we did that, we started looking over the mountain and, over into New York and Vermont and all that stuff. And, to include those two states and those two areas in our ride. And the reason that we chose the route that we did is because back when Kerry was still with us and he had lost his mother to Alzheimer's in 2007, so he had started doing fundraising rides, much like we're doing for Alzheimer's. So
that's a great tribute, sounds like, to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he was a resident of Steventown for 30 years. So the ride that he did here locally, it mimicked the part of the route that we're doing right now. So he rode out the same direction, came back the same direction. We're cutting ours a little bit shorter because his fundraising ride was 100 miles.
Ooh.
So maybe someday, maybe for our 10-year anniversary, but so yeah, we're
gotta be in shape for the 100 miles.
Oh, absolutely,
oh, my goodness.
So we're kind of paying homage to him a little bit too by kind of retracing his steps that he did in his fundraising route too. So not only does the ride itself mean something to us on a personal level, but getting out there and riding those same roads that he did that same day,
absolutely.
For this for that reason, yeah. It's just a double whammy there for us.
On the whole route, what's the most challenging part on the bicycle?
Oh, my God.
Is it Lebanon Mountain? That seems like a big one if you're going up over there.
I don't know.
Or do you just kind of keep going?
On a personal level, it's probably by the time I hit mile 60, the legs are feeling it, and my whole body's aching, and I just want to get off the bike.
Yeah.
But, if I had to, I'd ride another 30 miles. Mm-hmm. But, it's tough too because you want to make the ride something that everybody can enjoy. Anybody could do it. But it's not like we live near Boston where it's mostly flat.
Right.
We live in the Berkshires, people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to climb some hills. We try to minimize it, but climbing up over Route 20, up over Lebanon Mountain, and then coming down the other side, then going right back at Route 22. Those are probably our biggest challenges of the day. Other than that, you got a great ride. I mean, Route 22 going out through New York and into Vermont and 346, they're all nice rides. You got some great scenery out
beautiful.
There.
Yeah.
And great roads.
Yeah.
The traffic, knock on wood, the traffic has respected us in the 4 years that we've done this. We haven't had any issues. They give us a wide berth out on the roads, so it's worked out overall pretty well for the last 4 years.
That's great to hear that the motorists are also sort of giving you the way.
Absolutely.
And I think we see more of that now, you know, especially when you see large groups of bicyclists, you know something's going on. It's like,
right.
Okay, give them some space, you know, yep. They're doing their thing. And I'm sure the motorcyclists as well appreciate having a great route to run on. So
right.
Reminding people again that there are three options for this ride. This is a fundraising ride. Again, we're talking about the Berkshire Ride for ALS on September 7th. And, you know, if you're not quite in shape for that 70 miles just yet, you have time. It's only June. You can kind of get those muscles going. But if you aren't going for the whole 70, you can do the 10-mile ride, which is a nice, manageable ride, right?
Correct.
Or you can do it on a motorcycle if that's your preference, right?
Yep. Correct.
And we're always looking for volunteers for the rest stops to provide water and things like that. So that's wonderful, too. If anybody, you know, is kind of like me and not really good on a bike,
yeah,
we have other options.
And it's good to have that that support as well.
Oh, it's huge.
Absolutely.
It's huge.
Yep.
Yep.
So you're going to have dozens of riders, it's reasonable to say, this year.
We would love to say
Fingers
that.
Crossed. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Well, hopefully people hear more about it here on this show and the other efforts that you're making to get this publicized. It's a great effort. So again, it's going to start on September 7th at the Controy Pavilion on Anoda Lake.
Correct.
And if folks want to get more information about this event or register and get involved with it or sponsor or support, let's talk about the sponsors one more time and who you're looking for there and what they can do to help and where they can get that information.
You know, not to interrupt or change what you're doing. Also on the flyers, if you see them, there's a QR code. So that'll get you right to where you want to be as well.
Right.
And that'll show you, it'll show you the riders, it'll show you the sponsors, it will show you who we're riding in memory of or in honor of. You're welcome to add somebody there as well. You know, our list unfortunately grows every year.
Yeah.
But we're happy to, you know, add anybody on there. You just have to let us know. Mm-hmm. And that QR code will get you right to where you want to be.
So if you see the flyer, scan the code, or you can certainly find it on Facebook, as we talked about before. And what are we searching for on Facebook to find it?
It's just Berkshire Ride for ALS. There's a Berkshire Ride page. There's also, if you click on that, that'll bring you, there'll be an event link there also.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do everything right from there. It'll bring you right to that page, and you can do, it's one stop.
Perfect.
Yep.
And there is a website also, and that I'll just read that right off the flyer here. It's give.classy.org/Berkshire Ride for ALS. All one sentence.
Got it.
All right. Well, John and Sarah Barrett, I want to thank you both for being here this morning.
Thank you so much.
Last thing you want to say before we're off the air? It's been so nice talking to you, and what a great event. I wish you nothing but the best of luck and really great weather on September 7th when you do that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. The only other thing to mention is that on July 16th, John's birthday, we are having a music bingo at the A to also raise money for the ride.
Great.
So if anyone, you know, is like me and doesn't necessarily ride, come on and have fun with us and play some bingo.
Great. And as you mentioned before, the proceeds from the ride go to ALS1,
correct.
Yes.
Which is the organization that supports folks that have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and helps support them in their journey.
Correct.
So thanks both for being here. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
And everybody, we hope you enjoyed the program today and have a very enjoyable weekend and somehow survive next week's big heat wave. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.